Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Final Fantasy XI podcast panel. We were supposed to have a couple of our staff members, our host members, with us tonight. But tonight you get me. I'm a Nero. I'm also known as Nate.
I'm Fusion X from TFA. You can call me Andrew.
And this is Limit Break Radio's newest host, Vicky, who had her first episode, our last official episode. So, everyone, please welcome Vicky to the cast. Now, I know that some of you probably, no doubt, read on the show or on our websites that we were going to plan on streaming this. Unfortunately, the internet connection won't hold, so we're not able to stream it live.
Not like it matters for you, because you're here.
That's okay. That's okay, because we have this, and this is recording everything, so you will hear it on the podcast on each one of the shows. No, that's fine. Yell comments as they come to mind. That's fine.
It's just more work for him. So.
Yeah, it's. You can be Juxta for this episode. How about that? So we're going to talk a little bit about the history of some of the shows, some of the collaborative work that Pet Food Alpha and Limit Break Radio have done together, and then some plans for the future, especially to cover Final Fantasy XIV with our latest project, Aetherite Radio, which is a product of Orzopedia.com. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's going to be the best Final Fantasy XIV resource on the net, so you want to check it out, Orzopedia.com. Without further ado, I think we're going to start it off. Oh, also, we got some cool things to give away to people in the audience.
We're not telling you yet.
We're not going to tell you yet what it is, but they're cool, so you're going to want to stick around to the end.
Absolutely.
And we've also got a special message from Square Enix themselves, Rob Peeler, and the newest Final Fantasy XI community member came on and joined us, so he's going to introduce himself to you guys here live tonight. So, hope you're excited for that. So, why don't we get into the history?
All right, let's do it. PFA came first. Not that I hold anything against LVR, so we're going to start with PFA.
And we also have a lovely slideshow presentation that we can't show you, apparently.
I mean, we could, like, turn the laptop around.
I wish I could. It's not... No, I think I'll break it if I do that. I can't. I have no slack right here.
So, PFA started out... Does anybody remember OGaming.com and Mega Elixir?
I do.
Besides you. Mega Elixir was the very first Final Fantasy XI podcast. It was started on a website called OGaming.com, which ended up being merged with Alakazam. And after that happened, a lot of the people on staff at OGaming for Final Fantasy XI left. And it's kind of funny because after that, you know, a couple of years later, Zam and Online Gaming Radio, which was actually part of OGaming.com, made the Mog House, which some of you may remember was the podcast that Pico, Exodus, and some of the Ala admins had for a little bit there.
It was the only live webcast.
The only live
webcast. Only live webcast.
Yeah. So there was one guy that was part of the OGaming staff for Final Fantasy who goes off and created a website, and he wanted to do another Final Fantasy XI podcast because, you know, he had a good thing going on OGaming. But unfortunately, due to contracts and competition stuff, he wasn't able to host it himself. So he ended up getting me and Steak, and that's how we kind of came up with Pet Food Alpha. We did 57 episodes. Unfortunately, there was a lot of poor management, you know, a lot of mistakes, things such as deleting parts of our forums and not having a backup made us leave. It was kind of funny because shortly after that, PFA became an official community site. We were glad to see that after we left.
Limit Break Radio was first conceptualized in the summer of 2006, and production started in the fall of 2006. All of the hosts, this is we've talked a little bit about this on the show and other places before, but all of the hosts were really, really close friends before starting the show. And we at one point, everyone who was associated with the main portion of LBR, save for Miss Lady Fane, who's sitting down here in the front row, were all roommates together for about a year, and we all lived in the dorms together, and it was a pretty unifying situation. And all being Final Fantasy XI players, you know, we all just started kind of talking amongst ourselves about the game. And at some point, I kind of realized, wow, this would make for a really interesting kind of radio. And so, hey, let's do it. And got the equipment and started it up. If you notice, like, a quality difference between LBR and a lot of other podcasts that are out on the net, you'll notice that the quality difference is striking. That's for two reasons. A, we're all in the same room when we record. So when, you know, when you're hearing us laugh at jokes, we're usually playing off of each other or working on maybe a side bit, while with the mics turned down or something like that. But, you know, we always wanted it to sound like just a regular morning show that happened to be about Final Fantasy XI, and I think that we did that pretty well. I also have a pretty significant history in broadcast communications, and so that, that experience helped me to produce Limit Break Radio into what it is. As the show went along, we added various characters. Some of our favorite characters are the intern characters, like Wally. Here's an interesting side note about Wally. If you go back and listen to the early episode, Wally doesn't talk, and that's for a very, very, very good reason, because he was never actually in the room. Wally was a guy who we knew that lived out in California, and he was a friend of ours when we started the show, and we were like, hey, can we use you for a character? And so that's why Wally never talked. After he departed the show, we brought in our good friend Chris, also known as Juxtaposition, and that's when a lot more people actually started to take notice of the show when we started adding Juxta, for whatever reason. I have no idea. He was a lot of fun, and he always had a lot of fun with the role, and did a great job playing the Taru, and got that message across really well. So we always had fun with him. And then, of course, there was our final intern that we had, Irufalian, who was a longtime roommate of mine. And I wish we tried to get him down here. We tried to desperately get him down here to say hi, but he was too busy. And Irufalian, also known as John, he decided to join the cast. And, you know, he was just as funny and just as hilarious as Chris or Juxta was. So, what's kind of cool, since we live in a pretty remote place of Michigan, Mount Pleasant, which, I mean, there's really, yeah, there's, exactly, and for the international audience that hears this when this is podcasted, it really is that funny. Because we live in Mount Pleasant, we're really removed, so I'm this is something that I'm really proud of. To date, 9 people have come to visit us up in Norgan to hang out. A couple of them are here in the audience tonight, and I'll get into that more as we talk about the network shows.
All right, so we're not quite in a collaboration yet. That's one thing we do want to talk about. One thing we have kind of worked together on, and still we're, you know, separate, was FanFest 2007. That was our first big one.
That was the first time we met.
Yeah. And it was weird because you, like, just poked me on. You're like, hey, you're huge. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how did you recognize me then?
Didn't you have your Raffle Dirt
hat? Yeah, I had the Raffle Dirt
hat. It's the Raffle Dirt hat. You should have brought the
Raffle Dirt hat next time. It was really cool because we were actually contacted. You were contacted too, right? Yeah, Matt Hilton over at Square Enix. He emailed us and he's like, hey, we like the shows. You know, are you going to be at FanFest? And I remember when I got the email, I was at home, like my rest of the family was out in the family room watching TV. I'm sitting there at my computer, bring up the email, and they go, woo! So, I was very excited. A little bit. So it was really cool. We got the chance to cover 2007, which was a lot of fun. I remember our goal, and I think this was your goal too, is we wanted to release one episode a night.
It was two nights.
2007 was two nights. And I remember seeing Nate in the second morning, get your audio out. But it was a lot of fun. 2007, I think, definitely the best fan fest they've had so far. In 2008, this was last year in Hollywood, Square Enix actually gave us the opportunity to have booths, which, looking back, wasn't really that great. The booths were upstairs in a room that no one...
It was so far out of the way from normal traffic.
Well, it worked out because you went up and there was a hallway. It had the room that, for whatever reason, they had the Last Remnant playing.
Last Remnant had just come out at that time. Yeah. Or, like, it's, 6 months prior.
So come see our final version of the game Lag on an Xbox. Is what I got out of it. But,
they didn't even bother installing it to the hard, which was lazy. If you have the game and you try to run it off the disc, you know what I'm talking about.
But, I mean, we were... The booth room was lucky because we were the first door down that hallway.
It's true.
Like, there was, like, two doors to it, and one was closed. So it's, like, they had the sign, so that helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a whole lot of traffic. I think the most traffic that room did get was when, the guy, the comic guy.
Yeah, the guy from VG Cats, Scott Ransmere was in there.
In one of the booths in the room.
But Hiromichi Tanaka said podcast site. That's what he said. He literally said those words. I still can't get over that. That was the highlight for me.
He was geeking out about that for a long time.
I was like, he knows I exist. That's awesome.
Yeah. But the booths were good. I mean, we were out there for a little bit. We did, manage to talk to some of the fans that were there. But really, it's, I don't know, they were so far out of the way. Did anybody go to FanFest 2007?
Anyone go to any of the FanFests? Well, we didn't see any of you at the airport, so.
Yeah.
But, by the way, the special announcement is FanFest 2009 is, like, November 5th, so get your tickets!
Yeah, there you go.
Kidding.
But the booth at 2007 were the world's better than 2008. They were actually right on the floor, right outside the doors to the ballroom where everything was going on. So, I mean, you couldn't miss them, but 2008, it just, the whole room, like, we're just kind of, like, sitting there next to, we were set up next to the wiki guys, and we're just like, how's it going? Yeah, we were sitting there, we actually did a live blog for 2008, which we saw, I want to say, like, 35,000 hits.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And so we were teaming up with the wiki guys to do that, and so I remember at one point, the room was empty, it was me and Chiritu.
Yeah.
On our laptop blogging. At one point, like, people just started to accumulate. I think it was after they got sick of drinking downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember some of the guys from BG came up, and they're like, I'm taking over the live blog or whatever. And I'm like, okay. So you just started typing something. But Rob and Matt came up, and we were talking with them. And it was, it ended up being kind of nice for that little bit. But I don't think Booth is going to be...
That might not be
you
a future.
You weren't even at your booth.
I was not, no. Well, to be fair, they annexed our booth.
So, to give it to the Warcry or someone. I don't even remember who it was.
Yeah, the one guy from Warcry that was there. But, the booths were handled bad. I remember walking by, and I'm like, I wonder if there's anyone in the booth, working for us or something. They were taking them down.
Yeah,
And I had stuff under that table. Like, they started taking them down, but they actually managed to grab that stuff, and there was some stuff that... That's Scott Ransmere. That was the guy's name.
Yeah, Scott Ransmere.
BG Cats. And there were some illustrations he had left on his table when he was doing autographs, and they were putting everything away. So I'm like,
all right.
I'm like, Steak, you want one? Right. So I got that at home. But it was really cool. For both occasions, we were able to get audio right from all the presentations at FanFest. For 2008, we actually streamed that audio on our website, Radio XI, which we'll talk about a little later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you weren't able to go to FanFest, you could load it up the stream and heard everything that they talked about at FanFest. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was.
And, hopefully we get the chance to do something like that again. So that's kind of the past. Today, right now, PFA is one of the top news sources for Final Fantasy XI information. We cover stuff like topics, obviously. Community topics. Some of you may remember the whole Pandemonium Warden, the Absolute Virtue 18-hour fight thing. That was me. It's kind of funny because, I just wrote up this thing. I read it on Blue Garter forums. We had actually gotten the first discussion. We actually talked to Ganyman from Math Encyclopedia right after the Premier Sight Summit they had, the last one they had. He's like, yeah, Sonny said AV was like an 18-hour fight. I'm like, whoa, 18 hours? Like, getting on typing that up, and it skyrocketed from there. It was on all these big gaming blogs. It made it on TV.
Yeah.
So, it was, not that I'm a big fan of X-Play, but, it made it all the way to X-Play, which is really cool.
G4.
Boo G4.
It was on Yahoo News, too.
Yeah, it was on
Yahoo. And they didn't link back to us, so thanks, Yahoo News. But it was funny, because we got so many hits from that one story that it shut our server down. Yeah, it was bad. We couldn't access it for like a week. So Ganyman stepped in. He's currently hosting the PFA website free of charge. So big shout out to Ganny for helping us out with that. Right now, PFA, we are the longest running Final Fantasy XI podcast. Limit Break Radio is not too far behind, though.
Not too far.
A couple. We're also the number one ranked other community site. So he says, she says is under that. You need to get that community site tool on your page and start recording some hits, man.
Yeah, apparently. this is a little bit of history, but it definitely goes on to today. In 2007, Limit Break Radio unofficially launched what would later become the Limit Break Radio Network. And that started with a show called Limit Breaking News. And that was a show that was basically developed to be produced really fast when there's an update or when there's a community hot topic. One of our most popular episodes, period, was the LM17 episode of Limit Breaking News.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Where we talked about some community issues. And that, of course, also featured Fusion as well. And plenty of other large community members as well. So that was really cool. That was a fun thing for us to kind of put together and sort of, you know, get into and sink our teeth into. Simply Juxta was the next one to come out, and Simply Juxta was a show that was designed specifically to cover holiday events. That's all it was gonna do. Juxta let the production of Simply Juxta kind of fall by the wayside after a while. Juxta is currently living in Texas, and so unfortunately is not able to produce any more shows. So we may turn Simply Juxta into simply something else, or we may have an entirely new way to cover holiday events.
I just want to come in right here and say Callow doesn't need another show.
No, so no, he doesn't. But speaking of that, Callow's show, The Rogues Den, premiered in, I want to say that was late 2007. Where that's basically his show. He runs the whole thing. He designs it. And I actually want to mention that most of the shows that are on the Limit Break Radio Network are not actually produced by myself or even recorded by myself. Elegantly Edwith, that was one that was premiered a while ago, around the time that He Says, She Says premiered. Both of those shows are completely produced by their hosts.
Thank God, because you have so much free time.
Yeah, I know, no kidding.
I think it takes long to get one LBR episode out. Imagine if he had to do all the network shows.
I do some of them. I help out with the Rogues Den, and I've done some production for Elegantly Edwith and stuff like that too. But for the most part, they're responsible for getting their own shows out, which actually helps us out a lot, because as fans I'm sure will know, we had a while where we had a lot of trouble getting out episodes, and we're still to a large degree having trouble getting episodes out. That's both in due to size. I mean, some of our episodes are really long, and we're trying to address that. We're trying not to make them so long. But the other reason is that there is a considerable amount of post-production that goes into each and every show. Every piece of post-production you hear, from the intro to the Voices Upon a Deal intro to the outro, all of that is painstakingly edited and placed together. So that was kind of the genesis for the Limit Break Radio Network. We've added most recently a couple of new shows to the lineup. We have two hosts from Voices Upon a Deal, whose namesake was from the show, actually, and we decided to expand that out into a live call-in show, which Escalia and Zirumero pitched to me. And I said, great, that's awesome, let's do it, let's roll with it. We tried it for the first time, and it didn't end up working out. So, while I've got your guys' ears, be sure to be on the lookout for Voices Upon a Deal when their first episode premieres. It's going to be streamed, hopefully live, but because it's a call-in show, any and all of you can get in on the action. Right now, we're taking official sign-ups at our forum, limitbreakradio.com. Come to the forum, sign up. Let them know that you're interested to come on the air. You can talk about whatever you want. Sometimes days will be, episodes will be have a topic attached to them. But in general, exactly, yeah. In general, you can ask whatever you want. So make sure to be on the lookout for that coming out here pretty soon. And also, the other show, its premiere was a while ago, but the second episode just came out, was the Upon a Deal News Network, which is being produced and headed up by Fryce, who some may remember from one of our shows. But he's doing a stellar job. If you haven't heard it, check it out. It's really hilarious. It's really well written. They've got some really good bits in there. So that's pretty much what's going on with the Limit Break Radio Network.
Now we're going to start talking about collaboration, and there's an email that I received, July 31st, 2006, by some Dark Knight, level 67, Nero. Should I read this?
What a noob!
Dear Fusion X and Steak, hello, and that's auto-trans, hello.
It is.
My name is Nero, and I am a level 67 Dark Knight. Yeah, nice bagging on Dark Knight on the last show.
Jerk.
From the world of Titan.
Yeah, when I was still on Titan.
Here's my favorite part. I've been listening to Pet Food Alpha, and I really think the show is great. It's very well organized, and you talk about shit I actually care about. There you go. That was a long email.
It was a long email.
He comes out and he says, we'd like to work with you guys, help contribute to the podcast and the Final Fantasy Level community. Please let us know if you would like to work with us again in the future. And again, Autotrans, take care. See you again, Amira. So, I mean, it took quite a while before we actually collaborated on anything.
Yeah.
On any one item.
I think the first one was the Mog House episode.
Yeah. Yeah, the episode 100.
Episode 100 for Pet Food Alpha. Yeah, that's right.
We got that on one of these slides here.
Yeah.
But I think probably the biggest thing that we've done was Extra Life. You want to? I mean, this was kind of all you.
Oh, it wasn't. It was not all. I cannot take credit.
You were the one that got PFA involved because you're like, you guys should do this. I'm like, okay. So that was it.
Extra Life, for those of you who don't know, it's a 24-hour video game marathon that was started by SarcasticGamer.com, which is another great video game podcast. I highly recommend them. Check them out if you haven't yet. But they're based out of Houston, Texas, and they started this charity called Extra Life, and it was to benefit the Texas Children's Hospital. And we're basically raising money for kids with cancer. The way that it was described to me was that it's kind of like a walkathon, where the participants play video games for 24 hours. You go out, you find sponsors to get you to sponsor you per hour of gameplay, and then that money is donated to the Texas Children's Hospital. In 2008, we held the Extra Life festivities in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, at GameGo Computers and Hall of Heroes, which was a comic book shop and a LAN arcade, respectively. And they were really cool to let us, do our event there. We also did the other half of the event from the campus of Central Michigan. And that year we raised roughly around $10,000, which was really awesome. And for that year, the event raised, I want to say, $120,000 overall. For 2009, which was like 2 weeks ago, we were down at the Timbuktu Cafe at Great Lakes Crossing Mall. And we raised around $8,000, had about 30 people coming out playing video games all day. We had a lock-in for 24 hours, a lot of fun. And close to $20,000 between 2 years. That's pretty good. And I definitely will strike that as a win in the win column.
I think for 2008, you were like the second highest in donations. Or
yes.
Didn't you beat Sarcastic Gamer?
No,
We
didn't beat Sarcastic Gamer. We beat the pants off of Rooster Teeth. So take that, Rooster Teeth.
That's what it was. When you first hear about it, it's like, oh, play games for 24 hours. I do that already, but
it's an endurance challenge. It is hard. It's definitely
there is amazing. Such a thing as too much Mountain Dew.
I agree.
I was yeah. Dead. But
I was at the death.
It was nice, and it ended up being my downfall. As we were inside the mall that day, Taco Bell was doing free refills on their drinks. I must have gone through about 5 or 6 large Mountain Dew Baja Blast that day. I was hurting.
A big gulp that you could jet ski in.
Yeah. It was wow. I was out by that time. But one of the things that we did mention earlier, episode 100 of Pet Food Alpha, which was Pet Food Mog Break Radio Alpha.
Yep.
That's an original name. we actually had, it was you, it was Calo on that one? I can't remember.
I don't remember either. I want to say that maybe. Yeah,
so
I know that doesn't...
Who knows?
Maybe.
But we also had Pico on when they were doing their Mog House podcast. There really wasn't any kind of special topic. I don't think it was just kind of a get together and talk.
Yeah, yeah.
We did talk about the podcast. I think we did talk about some mystery.
Probably,
if I remember.
I think so. Something like that.
That was episode 100, around like 177 or something now. So that was a while ago. One thing we did do was after that LM17 edition of the Limit Breaking News that we had, I had written an email to Robert Keeler, who was in charge, or one of the guys in charge of the Final Fantasy XI community team. He's actually, I forget his official title. I feel bad because he sent it to me the other day. But he's dealing a little bit with 11 and 14. He's kind of overseeing the guys on both games now. I sent an email to him, and I said, hey, have you checked this episode out? Because we know they listen to us.
Yeah.
And it's understandable if they miss
an
episode here or there.
Yeah. They've told us.
Yeah. And I said, have you guys listened to this? I think you guys really need to, get out there and try to address the community more. So what we end up getting, I got an email back. And to my surprise, he said, we're already looking into doing something with you guys.
Yeah.
And that was, kind of the birth of the Community Team Podcast Tour, which was actually posted up on the Final Fantasy XI main page.
Yeah. This was distributed through their Topics channel. But this was a really cool opportunity for us to be able to get direct answers from, the people who are involved with the game. Not only that, but we got a nice bonus of getting some of the premier sites on there as well, and talking to them and figuring out exactly what they do. So that was really cool.
So what we did, we had an episode with PFA, He Says, She Says, and then we had the last one was with LDR, so I guess we'll just go through them. PFA, we talked to Robert Keeler and Danny Mann from FF Encyclopedia, and our topic was community and global support. Basically, we were just asking a bunch of questions like, why did Japan get the stuff Chocobo and we didn't?
Well, they finally ratified that.
Yeah, rest assured, I have my stuff choked. we talked about things like communication channels between the USA office and Japan and stuff kind of like that. And one of the things, too, there was quite a heated discussion on the Blue Garter forums.
There was. Does anyone frequent Blue Garter occasionally? Yeah, all right, a few people. All right,
but really, there was a lot of talk about, oh, you need to ask them all these questions and stuff. This is the community team. We're not going to say what kind of limits there were on discussion, but they don't know everything. There's only so much that they know. It's like, how do we beat AV? We're not the dev team. what about banning? It's like, well, we're not in charge of that. We don't know. So, there was a real high expectation, but it wasn't really realistic. It was just a community that just wanted answers, which I guess goes to show how well the development team communicates with the community.
So flood them and tell them you want a dev interview done by us.
There you go.
That's what you should do. OCR at playonline.com.
There's a forum somewhere.
they look... I have to say, about the community team, they are really, really good about going around to all of the forums, and really, they are very thorough when it comes to the 11 community.
It's crazy how much they look at stuff. I remember, I want to say it was right after Vanifest. For anyone that followed that, they had kind of like an early version of the king statues.
Yeah.
With the Mod Bonanza, only it was like the Shadow Lord, the Archangel. Or it might have been with when they actually announced the king statues, but there was an image that had one of them, and on the wall there was like a map of Vanadil, which was like, it's like a fishing thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this. I thought it was a new furniture item, and with me and furniture, my mod house, some people call it a museum. I got a lot of rare stuff, but I saw that, and I was like, oh, maybe, this new map or whatever. Sure enough, maybe a couple hours later, I got an email from Matt Hilton on the community team. He's like, he just sent me a link to a wiki page with that item on it. And I was like, whoa. So that was really kind of, they really do read the forum.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because, when you talk to them, when you just talk to them as people, you can, make jokes on that appeared on Blue Garter. They'll get it. Right. You can make inside jokes from the podcast. They'll get it. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. I think they're as big of fans of their own game as we are.
Which is good.
Yeah,
That's how it should be. So,
and it helps. You've got to keep in mind though. For as much as I joke and say flood them and tell them to give us a dev interview, this is a very, very old, very, very large company that is just starting to really kind of get with it when it comes to new forms of communication and communicating with their audience. And you kind of just got to give them time. You know, I don't think podcasting is as big in Japan as it is over here in the U.S. Oh, about 13 minutes. Yeah, we should start that soon.
Move along.
Yep.
Quick. He says, she says, talked about in-game seasonal events. They had Matt Hilden and Opal Flame from the Capital Site Vault on IGN that, I don't know what happened. Like, it's still being kind of updated.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her name on anything.
I'm not quite sure. She used to be my link shell.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Then you guys covered live events.
We did, with both Matt Hilton and Robert Peeler, and that was really cool. We also had Pico from Alakazam join us, and we talked about things like FanFest, took a bunch of suggestions for FanFest. So we're excited for the next FanFest to see if any of those suggestions actually made it in there.
One thing we've already kind of mentioned, Radio XI. Did anyone ever, like, visit Radio XI?
A couple people. Wow, all right, better. Yeah.
Basically, it was a streaming radio site where we had a bunch of the podcasts. We had some remixes from DJ Play School and Luso that were on there. For anyone that's visited it recently, it's kind of dead. We are looking into stuff. We're looking at maybe doing some more Wikipedia radio stuff in the future that will also cover Final Fantasy XI related material. You know, it's one of the biggest things. We're going to have short clips of the shows instead of the full show.
Yeah, one of the things that we learned was having extended 3-hour blocks of a full program that someone can go and download from a website is not exactly the best material for streaming. So what you'll hear a lot more of are smaller segments, self-contained segments that give you update on, you know, maybe this week's news or, you know, from FF14 or 11 or even other video games, too. And you'll get a high volume of both video game-related music and regular music, too.
Our next project coming up, it's already out. We have 4 episodes out now called Ate the Right Radio. This is under Orzopedia.com. This is going to be the best website for Final Fantasy XIV.
The best.
We got LVR, we got PFA, we got Korn from JP Button translating some stuff for us. We have the whole team behind FFXI Wiki.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's going to be, like, the best website. And that was really cool. Danny had talked to me about that a while ago. He's like, so I'm going to do this 14 site. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, you want in? I'm like, yeah. So, and then Aniro had contacted me. He's like, so what do you think about teaming up for a 14 podcast? I'm like, well, I'm already over here with these guys. You want to come on over? And so that's kind of how that started. So, right now, obviously, Final Fantasy 14 isn't out yet. There's a lot of people saying, you know, it's kind of early for a show. It is. It is very early to do a 14 podcast when the game's not expected for another year.
Yeah.
That's why our episodes are currently only being released whenever we get a large chunk of information that comes out. I know there's one other show. I don't know if they're. I think they're
Crystal
to,
Core.
They're trying to do weekly.
I think so. Yeah, they've been trying to do weekly, but from what I've heard, and this I only caught them very very early on, but they were going back and covering some 11 stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it would make sense for us to be covering 11 stuff since we already have that. Yeah, so. We already have that outlet anyway. So.
Yeah.
It's a much more casual approach at this point, but once the game comes out, we're actually going to be looking into doing something very radically different from both shows.
Yeah. And one thing we're going to look at doing, you know, right now, we're kind of looking at, do we want a long episode or do we want to break the show up into different topics? Like, for example, we could have one segment could be like player and host, you know, in-game activities, emails that we get. One could be a discussion topic, one could be news. We could have each of these be released. It'd be small. You know, a lot of people complain about lengths of shows. Maybe just small episodes, and then we release them all just in one file, like towards the end of a week, or we want to set that up.
Yep.
But, you know, we're definitely considering a lot of stuff for the future. And right now, we're going to go ahead, because we're running, we're all right, I think.
I think we're okay on time, but here's our special presentation from Square Enix themselves.
A few things.
Okay, so it's time for a very special presentation here as a part of our YumaCon presentation at the 2009 YumaCon. And we have joining us an old friend to the show, both shows, Pet Food Alpha and Limit Break Radio, Robert Peeler from Square Enix. Robert, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing good.
It's been a little bit since we talked to you last. Has there been anything going on that you can tell us about that, you know, has happened since the podcast tour?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things. One obvious, Final Fantasy 14 was announced.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
We've been working pretty much around the clock with stuff like that, and also new things to present for Final Fantasy 11, and in particular, we hired a new staff member to be our new Final Fantasy XI community team lead.
Well, excellent. Robert, would you like to introduce the new head for the community team of Final Fantasy XI?
Definitely. We hired a person who was very familiar with Final Fantasy XI. Played the game for a very long time, was familiar with all stages and levels of play, and I'd like to introduce him now. His name is Devin Caste.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm really happy to be able to talk to you guys finally. And I'm really excited about my job, and I look forward to working with the player base as a whole.
Well, excellent, Devin. It's wonderful to meet you, and we're so glad that you've chosen an outlet like Limit Break Radio and Pet Food Alpha and this Yumacon panel to introduce yourself to the Final Fantasy XI community. And and hopefully, if all is going according to plan, by now we should be streaming on the web, streaming our panel. And here's your chance. There should be a lot of Final Fantasy XI community members listening. So why don't you take a second and introduce yourself to the Final Fantasy XI community and say what up.
Great. Yeah, my name is Devin Caste. I just started working at Square Enix about 3 months ago. I'm a longtime player of Final Fantasy XI. I love the game. I really care about the players, and I really want to see some good interaction between the community team and the players.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Great. Now, how is it that you came to work at Square Enix?
Well, it's kind of funny, actually. I just happened to be job hunting, and I looked at the actual main Square Enix hiring page and saw the community relations type job opening. And just as a kind of shot in the dark, I sent out my resume, and it was all downhill from there, pretty much. It was great. It was, I feel lucky,
Very cool. We've already heard that you do play Final Fantasy XI quite a bit. What's one of your favorite features in XI?
I would have to say that the story is probably one of the major factors that really keeps me playing. A lot of the expansions are great. I love just continuing the missions. I'm really looking forward to the Wings of the Goddess continuation. Probably next is H&M. That is definitely my favorite.
Very cool.
Gotta love the end game scene.
Yep, I'm there. I'm there every day.
How about least favorite?
Least favorite. Honestly, there's not too much about the game that I don't like.
Just say Garrison and it'll be fine.
Garrison. they're all really cool.
You can't hate what you don't do though.
right, exactly. But I really do like just about every aspect, but H&M's can be kind of stingy sometimes. So
this is true. Finally, someone on the inside that understands the drop rate problems here.
Yeah, it's you just gotta work hard. It takes patience.
It's true. That is true. That's the that is the name of the game. So do you have any specific goals or specific tasks that you hope to accomplish while you're on the community team?
Yeah, there's this kind of stigma that goes around, it's floating around forums all the time, that the Square Enix 11 community team has no idea, how players feel, or they're kind of detached from the game. They don't really understand too much about it. But I guess my kind of goal is to break down that stigma and really show them that, we care, and we do understand players, and we understand the game. And just kind of tighten that bond between the players and the community as a whole. So,
very cool. Now, I noticed we've been back and forth in emails for a while now, so trying to set all this up. I noticed that there's some Japanese characters in your email.
Yep.
Are you fluent in Japanese? Do you think that'll help you with your job and talking with the Japanese side of Square Enix?
Yeah, I am fluent in Japanese. I actually just recently moved back from Japan. I lived there for about 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And read, write, speak, everything, certified. So it's definitely helpful, I think. Any of the language barriers or any problems that, you may see from time to time, it definitely helps eliminate those to make communication smoother.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's going to help as a whole.
Well, very cool. Wonderful. So now a couple of months ago, we saw that player event support had been added to Final Fantasy XI. How has that been received by the community? Have you seen people setting up player events? I know that the wedding services are kind of an extension of this. So what kind of feedback have you seen from the community?
Well, you know, there have been quite a few of these player event supports taking place. You know, one thing you got to keep in mind is this is still a pretty young feature to the game. So, you know, it's growing, but the most important thing is, you know, we want to stimulate players to kind of think of these really good ideas, because I mean, really, it's limitless to what they want to do. Their imagination will take off.
Yeah.
But you know, as I said, it's in its youth stage, so we're trying. You know, players are trying, but there seems like maybe they need a little bit of some ideas. But we have seen some pretty good stuff.
Can you give us some examples of some of the more unique events that you've seen?
Yeah, definitely. One of the more interesting ones, there was a couple that we have that we can tell you about. LS recruitment. People had a barbecue. So it's kind of just a good way to attract, you know, people to your link shell, you know, gather around, kind of have this party atmosphere.
Yeah, players often, like, look at these event ideas, and they wonder to themselves, you know, how can I get involved? Like, oh, do I have to come up with some really great idea where I utilize it, every aspect of it, and make it really balanced or something? But really, it could be in just a social event. Bring about your friends over, and some NPCs can convey a nice message to them that is familiar to you and your friends, and maybe some old Alice mates, and then maybe invite other people to join along and see how, you know, fun and interactive your group can be.
And, you know, people can give out prizes themselves, the person who organizes. You know, they were handing out food, drinks, fireworks. So, you know, it was kind of like a summer barbecue type thing.
Very cool.
Another interesting one was kind of a treasure hunt. So you can kind of organize different items around. And, you know, the first person to collect these treasures and find out exactly what this know, word spelled or something like that, and they would get a prize from the organizer.
Oh,
very cool. Yeah. I had done a treasure hunt event with an older link shell of mine, but we as we were doing the event, we found out that one of the items was like a rare chocobo digging thing that you had to get, and that just didn't work out. So we had to make adjustments on the fly for that.
And yeah. There's enough opportunities for trial and error, so yeah. That's not perfect. It's fine to try it again.
Definitely. And one of the more recent ones that was appropriate for this time of year is there was actually a Halloween party.
Oh.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, players can pretty much do what they want, you know, imaginative-wise. And, you know, seasonal events are really interesting to do.
Sure.
So we really hope to see some events come in more and more.
You know, more of that, too. We're also hoping that some of the fan sites put on their own events so they can kind of galvanize the support for the system or even their own site with other players. I mean, even you guys could put on an event that's publicly announced if you wanted to.
We definitely could. And you know, one thing that may help, too, to kind of get this new feature out there, you could probably throw something in the newsletter.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, if there's any, you know, unique
he's bouncing
events
feedback that off me as I give him some solutions on this end. So, nice. Okay, good idea.
Yeah,
very cool. Recently, we had the it's actually still going on. Voting is open now for this Alexam pumpkin carving contest.
One of my favorites. I love the pumpkin carving
contest.
There's a lot
of cool stuff
so cool
this year. This year was kind of interesting. There's actually exclusive in-game items that you can win only from this event. You know, is there anything that you can, you know, tell us about, you know, how that kind of happened? You know, will we see more, you know, exclusive items for Premier Site contests in the future or anything like that?
Well, as you know, this contest has been around for quite some time now. And it was actually the first year that it actually turned global. So we had all regions participating in this event, and you know, it was going to be a pretty sizely contest. So you know, decided that it would be a good idea to kind of spice it up a little bit. And it seems like it's going really well right now. And, you know, for future events, we're always constantly looking at seasonal events for fans and just ways that we can, you know, make them interesting and change them up to kind of, you know, get more participants. So that's definitely one of the factors of why we chose to do that.
You might have even noticed that for this year, a lot of the entries have been made with
the green pumpkins in Japan. So which are actually basically just a squash, but.
But yeah, since it's a bit more prevalent in Japan, you know, a lot of the assumptions are that many of the entries are actually from Japan. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool to see that it was received that well on a global scale.
I think they had a lot of fun with it because it's not really a Japanese cultural thing to carve pumpkins. So I think for a lot of people, it's a really new experience. And but it seems like they definitely had a lot of fun doing it, judging by the amount of entries that were received. So.
You can even notice on the Alakazam, they showed that Dengeki Magazine had created an article specifically to talk about this.
Yeah, I saw that, and there was also a post on the Creator's Voice blog that had some pumpkins that the people over in Japan made, which were kind of cool to see them get involved. So
yeah, they all did a really great job.
I wish I could carve that well.
So do we.
So do we.
Very cool. All right, so now we got a small package from you guys, and it's, I guess we're going to be giving these away during the panel here. What do we have for people?
So we gave you one of each of the nations of the keychains, and we also gave you the Star Onion Sanctuary CDs,
which such an excellent CD. The album is great.
It's definitely great.
That alone is such a wonderful prize, and that album is a little bit difficult. I mean, you can't really find it commercially. You can find it different places in the States, but not something that you'd run across in your average suburban mall or something like that. So very cool prize right there.
Yeah, we hope people will enjoy that.
It's a bit of a small token of our appreciation for you guys putting on this event and supporting the game for so long, and we hope that the fans enjoy it.
I'm sure they will. We appreciate it and appreciate all the work that you guys are doing over there.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you, too.
It was great talking to you. We hope to talk to you again soon. And take care.
Yeah,
absolutely. Take care.
See ya.
So what we've done is turn your PFA business card over. There should be 6 winners. If you have a winner card, come on up.
Woo!
Congratulations, winner!
All right. Just hand these out randomly. Yeah, we had one question up here. I know we'll answer that real quick.
I want to say, I've been listening to Game Break Radio ever since it came out. You know, you've been in my iPod through the years. In school when I didn't really care. During lectures when I really didn't care. And when I fell asleep. And you guys were always there with me. I want to say thank you.
That's awesome. Wow. That's really, really cool because, you know, it's comments like that that it's why I think we keep doing this.
Yeah, I don't
know.
After meeting you, though, I don't know if I'd want you in my iPod. It'd be kind of weird.
It would be weird being in an iPod, I think. It's a lot of fun doing this, and the reason that we keep doing it and come back to it again and again is because the people are so cool. We get responses like that from. What's your name? I'm sorry.
I'm Justin.
Justin, nice.
I've met you before online. I've been on Final Fantasy player, but even though I always keep in track.
I think Iru remembers you fondly.
Yeah, Iru. My favorite episode is when Iru came in and he's like, "Oh, I've got chips."
Right, exactly. But, yeah. Like it's the most logical thing in the world.
The one question that I present to you is that now that Final Fantasy XIV has been announced and that we've been getting more information and such, what, as gamers, do you approach as the time goes on? I mean, I'm a WoW player. Like, all my friends are, we're avid WoW players. And when we see an expansion, we kind of quit, you know, we do our little thing, you know, we take a break. what are your plans as it gets closer to the release date of Final Fantasy 14? I mean, you might not have it right now.
Yeah.
But what type of direction do you think you're going to approach, since this is a major turning point for Final Fantasy?
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point.
I have two monitors, so I can play both.
You are crazy, sir.
I think at least for me, I'm taking a pretty big hiatus at the moment and just concentrating on graduating. I'm supposed to walk in August, which is awesome. I'm ready to be done. Thank you.
Which university?
Central Michigan University.
You got a simple plan.
Awesome, awesome. Also, Lady Fane right here is going to be graduating with me in August, so clap for her. Go, Lady Fane. Woo! Lady Fane and I have been together for 6 years, going on 7. So I know that one of our big plans when Final Fantasy 14 comes out is to play it together, because we didn't get the chance to do that with 11. But yeah, right now I'm taking a pretty big break. I'll log on when I can, but that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Any other questions? Read in the chat.
You apologize to Dirtner, but the wrong community.
No. Any other questions? Yeah.
Okay. I have a request, maybe. Instead, since you're talking about replacing Justin, instead of Simply Justin, what about Simply Carletta?
Simply Carletta. That's a good suggestion. She's really great on Vonna Deals News Network. So that's I'll take that back to the rest of the guys and see what
we'll take that back to Japan with us.
Yeah. PS2 limitations.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go. Yes.
Over what server do y'all do all the Limit Break
Most of Limit Break Radio is on Odin. I'm on Odin. Kalo's on Odin.
I'm on Remora.
Yeah, Remora. Part of Apathy over here. No, actually, that was just a weird coincidence. I was wondering that too. Yeah, no, there was this the Limit Break link shell on Odin, and people thought that Kalo was a part of it. He was never a part of Limit Break, actually. And the name didn't come from there. That was just something that we kind of, put together, so. A radio show, yeah. We're part of Versus. And Sale is now on Hades too.
Yeah, I should. PFA right now, we're kind of scattered. Tila is MIA. Apparently, broadband in England right now sucks or something. I don't know. But right now, I'm on Asura. Duel's on Asura. Chin is on Carbuncle. Steak is on Bahamut. Though we all may be on Carbuncle soon. So
who knows?
We'll see what happens with that. So.
All right, if there are any other questions, I'm sorry it's over, but you can feel free to ask questions to us as we wrap up and we'll hang out for a little bit outside. So thank you all for coming. That was really awesome. Thank you, guys. I didn't expect anyone to be here.
Yeah.
It was a surprise.
22 people.
Thanks, guys. I got a